Bringing hope to the hopeless, faith to the faithless, and love to the broken, everyone is welcome at the Revival Center, located at 1609 Tommy Webb Drive, Meridian, Mississippi. Just come as you are. For the next 30 minutes, get ready to be ministered to and touched by an anointed man of God, Brother Charles Pierce.
Church that says we know we're not the best. We know we've got issues, but we are desperate for the presence of God. If you're desperate for the presence of God, can you lift up your hands and say, God, we want your glory. We know we're not perfect, but we're forgiven. We're in love with you, and we want your glory. Hallelujah. I believe that there are some prophets in a cave this afternoon. I believe there are some pastors in a cave in this room. I believe there are some worship leaders in caves in this room. I believe there are some preachers in caves in this room. I believe there are some young people in a cave in this room. But I've come with good news. God has come to your cave in this service. I'm so glad that we serve a God that just doesn't meet us on the mountaintop. We don't just serve the God who meets us on the top of Mount Sinai. Hallelujah. We don't just serve the God who answers by fire, but he will find us. Do you know what some people think? Some people think that Elijah was suicidal in that cave, that he had reached to such a low that he said, there's no point. God should just kill me. I wish he would just take me home. But it was in that spot that God looked at Elijah and said, I'm not done with you yet. Oh, hallelujah. I've come to remind somebody at the Revival Center, God's not done with you yet. He is not done with this church yet. He is not done with this ministry yet. He is not done with your family yet. If there's still breath in your body, if you still have a heartbeat, God is here to remind you who you are. Somebody give him glory in this house. Oh, I feel my help in this room. Hallelujah. I believe this text gives us a great revelation. Now listen to me. God can send his power without sending his presence. What do I mean by this? 1 Kings chapter 19, if they can put it back up on the screen for us. The Bible says, and he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by in a great and strong wind, tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? The Lord passed by and a wind came, but he was not in the wind. The Lord passed by and the earthquake came, but he was not in the earthquake. The Lord passed by and the fire came, but he was not even in the fire. God can send his power without sending his presence. I want you to think about what God tells Moses in the book of Exodus chapter 33. The Lord said to Moses, depart, go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought up out of the land of Egypt, to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your offspring I will give it. I will send an angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hebites, the Jebusites. But go up to a land flowing with milk and honey. But I will not go up among you, lest I consume you in the way. For you are a stiff-necked people. What am I trying to say? What am I trying to say? God was going to send his power without sending his presence. Maybe the scariest verses in the New Testament are these words from Jesus in Matthew chapter 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. There is a warning going forth to every believer and church in the world today. Don't lose the presence of God. this church cannot lose the presence of God. Your family cannot lose the presence of God. You as a believer cannot lose the presence of God. Oh, how you can lose everything else, but don't lose his presence. Amen. Don't lose that intimacy. Don't lose his glory. Hallelujah. Don't lose your hunger and thirsting after righteousness, for that will fill you. Is anybody in this room right now? What does it mean to have the presence of God? It means that God is present with you. Presence means that God is present. If you have the presence of God, that means he is right presently with you. Hallelujah. What am I trying to say? The power of God can come, but he can be absent. Do you hear me? The power of God is in vain if he does not come with it. More than gifts, more than the tongues, more than the prophecies and the healings, he is looking for a people that will fall in love with his presence again. Let me ask you this question. Did you come to service looking for a power manifestation, or did you come for him? You hear me in this room today? Because God can send an earthquake and not be in the earthquake. Thank you, brother. God can send the fire, but not be with the fire. Actually, God told his people, I'm still going to send you to the promised land. I'm still going to send you to that place flowing with milk and honey. But he said, I'm not going because you don't love me. You would rather see a manifestation of my power than me being with you. But God is looking for a people that could care less about what they see. He's looking for a people that say, God, if your presence does not go with us. Now, I feel like people in this room, there's some of you, you have founded your relationship with Jesus on what he can do for you rather than walking with him and falling in love with his presence. If your relationship with God is based on what he can give you, it's a wrong relationship. Some of y'all have been hurt by your biological mom and dad because they really didn't love you. They just gave you stuff. But you didn't want what they could give you. You wanted a relationship with them. And I feel God stirring in my heart. And I feel like there's a revival coming to the Revival Center. I feel like there's a revival coming to Meridian, Mississippi. But it's not going to be a church that is looking for the power manifestation. No, it's going to be a church that says, Jesus, just give us you. Just give us your presence. Give us your glory. God, if you're not here, we don't want it. We just want you to walk in our midst. Where two or three would gather in my name, that's where. Can you just wrap your mind around Matthew chapter 7? He says, many will say to me in that day, did we not prophesy? God can send his prophetic word and not be there. Did we not cast out devils? Come on, somebody in this room. God can send his power to cast out devils, but him not be there. It's not my words. It's the word of God. I'm trying to stir something. Are your priorities straight? Oh, hallelujah. Are you a church based off, founded on the presence of God or founded on the power of God? I believe somebody is going to fall back in love with his presence again. Hallelujah. Listen to me. The Bible says this. If I can find it right here. More than gifts, more than tongues, more than prophecies and healings. He's looking for a people that will fall in love with his presence again. Has church become hard? Has prayer become hard? Has Bible study become hard? Has outreach become hard? Have you lost your vision for sinners? Have you lost your burden for the world around you? Maybe you've lost your love for the presence of God. I want to take you to Revelation chapter 2. It says this, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works. I know you toil and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary, but I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Come back to your first love. Do you hear the Lord? Do you hear the Holy Ghost? Listen, I don't have some great theological thing. I don't have some great revelation. I just have the revelation of the presence of God this morning. I feel conviction in this room that God is pulling somebody's heart. Some of y'all have not been to church in a month, in 2 months, in 6 months, in a year, and you just so happen to stop by today, and God is looking at you and saying, fall in love with my presence of gift. If you fall in love with his presence, do you know that's who Jesus is? Jesus is. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He just doesn't want to send his power. He wants to send his person. He wants to be right beside you. He wants you to know him. Listen, every church has to fight for their first love. Every church has to fight to keep the fire. Every church has to fight to keep the presence of God. God wasn't leaving the church of Ephesus. He wasn't trying to close their doors. He was calling them back to their original purpose, just to be with him. The first priority of this church isn't to see miracles, signs, and wonders. It's to be with him. It's to be with Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Some of y'all, this is going way over your head. I want you to grab it over your head right now and put it in your heart. I want you to know God is less concerned about what he can do for you than you falling in love with who he is. The great thing, God is talking to this church saying, hey, you're doing all these good things, but you've left your first love. Now he wasn't saying, I'm going to close the doors. He wasn't saying, you should shut it down. No, he said, repent and come back to me. Come back to my presence. Come and fall in love with my glory again. Come fall in love with my word again. Come fall in love with prayer again. Come and fall in love with my church again. He was saying, rearrange your priority. God had not left the church. He was just saying, you've got to rearrange some things. Amen. Today is a day of rearranging. Today is a reminder that you are in this, not for what God can do for you, but for who he is in your life. He was calling them back to their original purpose, just to be with him. Anybody know Psalm 84? For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Psalm 42 verses 1 and 2. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Do you still believe that? Do you still believe that better is one day in his courts than 1,000 elsewhere? Is that still a cry of your heart, that you would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than dwell in the tents of the wicked? Do you still have that longing for the water, for the presence of God, as the deer pants for the flowing stream? Does your soul still thirst for the Lord? Is anybody in this room? I want you to know, this church is not a family church. This church is not Charles Pierce's church. This church is not funded by one family or one group of people. This is God's church. If it's God's church, the Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If it's God's church, it will be a house of prayer. If it's God's church, no weapon formed against it shall prosper. God is looking for a church to be a church of his presence again and say, God, we're here for you. We're not here for Robbie Grubbs. We're not here for anything else. We're here because we know where two or three gathered in your name, that's where you are. Are you still in love with his church? Come on. You can't be a Christian and not go to church. It's impossible. I've traveled around the world, Pastor Pierce. I've rubbed shoulders with the Church of China. And I've talked to pastors who the government has come and they've locked their doors. And they show up and they can't enter into a building. But instead of just shutting it down and crying a river, they said, we're going to meet while it's snowing outside in the middle of the forest at about 3 a.m. And we're going to bring our flashlights and we're going to have church in the middle of the night so they can't find us, because Jesus is worthy, because we're in love with him. And their whole church shows up in the middle of a forest on a snowy day. That's people who are in love with Jesus that says, God, you're our everything. Is he still your everything? Is he still the first thing that's on your mind when you wake up in the morning? Are you still hungering and thirsting after him? Are you still pursuing the call of God that's on your life? Are you still in love with his kingdom and his gospel? Are you still preaching the gospel to this city around you? Are you still on fire and praying and interceding and believing for him? Heard another story. I was in Kenya, Africa when I was 19 years old. We got to go to the largest Pentecostal church in East Africa. Bishop Lai was the bishop there. He started off with just a handful of people. The church got up to about 200 people. And in the city in Kenya that he was having church in, it was predominantly Muslim. And one of his church members had heard that the Muslims that night were going to come burn the church down. Dr. Lai said, what do I do? And he said, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, call an all-night prayer meeting and don't tell the people that the Muslims are going to come and burn it down. Just call them to pray. So he calls all 200 members of his church and they come and pray all night long, as soon as the sun goes down until it comes up, and the Muslims never came. That guy came back to him and said, you know, the Muslims came to your church last night. And they said when they got in invisible eyesight of the church, they got close enough to see it. He said that they were shocked because they saw that the church was already on fire. So they packed up their stuff and they left. Hallelujah. I'm talking about a people that will stand in the presence of God and believe. I believe that this church is the most powerful building in all of Meridian. It's not the police department. It's not the school system. No, a church of his presence can change the world. I felt the Holy Ghost tell me this for this church this morning in prayer. I heard the Holy Ghost say, they did not plant it in the wrong place. Hallelujah. You did not plant this church in the wrong place. The Pierce family could have planted this church in California. I mean, you all traveled all around the states. Amen. You all could have went anywhere and said, we're going to set up shop. No, God had a plan for Meridian, Mississippi. Hallelujah. Listen, you may as well buckle up, because I got about 3 sermons in my tank right now. Hallelujah. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God doesn't want his church to be built in an easy place. Meridian is not an easy place. Meridian is bound by demonic forces. Hallelujah. Meridian is bound by a bad history. Come on, somebody. Meridian is bound, amen, by the spirit of religion. But God said, go plant a church beside the pilot. And you didn't plant a church beside in a cornfield somewhere around the suburbs that was... No, you said, put us in the heart of darkness. Put us where the gates of hell are. But it's by the gates of hell that the church shall not... That the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Hallelujah. Do you know when Jesus says this, he's at the most demonic place in all of the known biblical world? When Jesus says this at Caesarea Philippi, there's a big mountain behind him. There's idolatry going on. There's pagan temples. There's prostitution going on. And Jesus goes 30 miles out of his way, and he brings his 12 disciples to this place, and they're confused. Why are we in such a dark place? Why are we in such a horrid, awful place? And there he says, upon this rock, in an area like this, in that mountain was a big cave. Where he's saying this at in Matthew 16. And he says, that cave, they believed in Bible times, was the portal to hell. So not only is there a pagan temple, but there's literally a cave that they think goes into hell. But when Jesus says in Matthew 16, upon this rock, I don't believe he's pointing at Peter. I believe he turned around to that mountain and said, upon this rock, upon the most demonic, upon the most dark place, he said, that's where I'm going to build a revival church and the gates of hell. He says, I'll give you the keys to the kingdom, and whatever you bind will be bound, and whatever you loose, you're not in the wrong place. You're not in the wrong area. No, God is going to use this church in 2024, in 2025. God's going to use this church to change a city. Hallelujah. I wish you would take 30 seconds and give God praise that God is gonna bring revival through this house. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, praise God. This is the good news. If you have God's presence, you will always have his power. You know, I've been preaching the whole message on this. You can have his power without his presence, but if you have his presence, you will always have his power. Hallelujah. Jesus never says to seek his hand. He says to seek my face. Hallelujah. And if you seek his face, and if you fall in love with him, if you fall in love with his nail-scarred hands, if you fall in love with his eyes of fire, if you fall in love with the word of God, if you fall in love with his church, if you fall in love with prayer, if you fall in love with the altar, if you fall in love with worship, God will show up. He will raise the dead. He will open blinded eyes. He will do exceedingly and abundantly. If you seek God's face, you will always get his hand. Hallelujah. The Bible tells this story in the book of Acts of the sons of Sceva. They tried to cast out a demon using the name of Jesus because they saw Paul do it. And they tried to do it, and the demon said, Paul I know, Jesus I know, but who the heck are you? Come on, somebody. And they got embarrassed. And they got attacked by that demon. Come on, somebody. And they ran away like a scared dog with its tail between its legs. Come on, somebody. That's what they did. Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? What were they doing? They were pursuing power without the presence and were humiliated. You hear me? When you begin to cast out demons and heal the sick, and that becomes your focus, you've lost your priority. If you haven't spent the time getting to know Jesus, you haven't been in his word, I've been praying and fasting in his presence. When you're in his presence, you don't have to work something up. Come on, somebody. It's natural. The Bible says in Mark 16, these signs will follow you. He didn't say you chase after them. He said they would follow behind you. If you concentrate on the presence of God, you won't struggle with demon-possessed people. You won't struggle healing the sick. No, if you've been in the presence of God, that presence will flow out of you and it will touch every individual. But people, come on somebody, got it backwards. And this is the reason why they haven't truly fallen in love with his presence. We want a quick fix. We don't want to do the praying. We don't want to do the fasting. Come on, somebody. We don't want to be the laborer to go out in the harvest. No, we want a Sunday religion that says, I just want it one day out of the week, and I want to be able to go get what I want and then not think about it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. No, listen, friend, when you find this living water, you have to have it every day of the week. Oh, hallelujah. I can't go a day without Jesus. I can't go a second without Jesus. I can't go 2 days without the Holy Ghost. I can't wait till every Sunday to get what I need. No, somebody's going to fall in love with his presence again. Somebody is going to come back to their first love and say, Jesus, be my everything. Come on, lift your hands right now and say, God, give me my first love back. God, give me that first love. God, let me pursue you like I did when I first got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, God, let me come back to that place. As I begin to finish up this sermon, and Carrie, you can come help me real quick. I don't know why, but this word, humiliation, kept going through my mind and my spirit. You know, the sons of Sceva were humiliated because they did not have the presence of God. They thought that it was just a formula. I saw Paul do it, but they didn't. But they didn't go through the imprisonments, come on, the lashes, the fasting. Paul had been spending years, every day of his life. Paul said, I speak in tongues more than all y'all. Come on, somebody. They didn't know the years of relationship that it took for Paul to look at a demon and say, in the name of Jesus, leave. And they just thought, well, if he can do it, then I can just use the name of Jesus. But that's not how it works. And they got humiliated. I was laying in my bed last night. And as preachers do, I guess, I was laying there trying to go to sleep, but I was preaching my sermon in my head. I mean, I went from the beginning to the end. I don't know how long I was laying there. And I got to the very end, and this word humiliated. The sons of Sceva were humiliated. Man, that's a pretty strong word. Come on, to be humiliated like that? To think they had power, but they didn't have power? I don't know what you've been through the last year. I don't know what you've tried to do. I don't know what programs you tried to put in place. I don't know your financial situation. I don't know spiritually how you've been doing. But maybe you feel that way. God, I've been humiliated. God, I've been trying to do things and I haven't been in your presence, and I still try to pursue your power and try to use your name. God, we try to have revival. God, we've been trying to have good services. But God, we have been humiliated. I don't know. I just hear that word, humiliated. And there's some people, there's some families, there's some individuals that you didn't know where that came from. God, why do I feel this way? Why am I praying and nothing is happening? Why am I coming to church and I'm not seeing the breakthrough? Why are we not seeing our church full? Why are we not seeing the manifestation of the power of God? And over humiliate, God, we feel humiliated. We're trying to be the church. We're trying to serve you. We're trying to pray people through to the Holy Ghost. We're trying to see God do miracles, signs, and wonders. And I feel the Lord say, you feel humiliated because you've lost his presence. I'm not saying you're backslid. I'm not saying that. I'm saying there's got to be a realignment. You are more than a church of programs. You are a church of his presence.
You have been listening to Pastor Charles Pierce of the Revival Center, located at 1609 Tommy Webb Drive, Meridian, Mississippi. Pastor Pierce and the Revival Center would like to invite you to attend service Sundays at 2 p.m., Tuesday prayer at 10 a.m., and Wednesday night at 7 p.m., or contact us at 601-693-9879, or go to www.kingdompeace.org.